Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic. Is it still an H-free zone?
It is.
Heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. Jason, what are you doing here in the studio?
I got jealous of Doug. You guys get to reminisce all week about all the fun you've had protesting this and that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to join in the fun.
Oh, Jason Troyer, good friend. Jason, you've been helping with this ministry for a long time now.
A few years, yes, absolutely.
You do the announcements at Denver Bible Church.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for doing that.
My pleasure.
You do the tech. You're the official videographer for Bob Benyard Live. For Denver Bible Church, for the Denver pro-life community. Well, you wear a lot of hats.
Well, I try. I try to stay busy. And I succeed at staying busy.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to talk about the war. We're going to start bombing Saddam real soon. And I've got my Ides of March prediction still out there pending. But how is it that you're in this studio right now, Bob Benyard Live, Christian, right-wing, conservative? Weren't you some kind of a college student?
I was your typical alcoholic college student.
I didn't want to say. I just said college student.
Well,
nowadays
it's redundant. I realize that saying an alcoholic college student is redundant.
It's pretty redundant.
But
in many cases,
I was watching TV, flipping through the stations, and I went across the Christian station, and there you were.
Why? Yeah.
And I started watching you, and I thought you were great because I still had somewhat Republican slash conservative political ideas.
Yeah.
And
so you were a bit conservative.
Yeah.
But not Christian.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
You were a partying – I don't want to say the words I would normally say to a college student who called in.
But I'm repentant, so it's okay.
Because it's Jason, so I don't want to say it. But you were one of them.
Exactly. I was definitely one of them. And your ministry impacted my life. And I've told you this before, but – if I was flipping through the channels and I had just seen any pastor, doesn't matter how good he was, I would have kept flipping through the stations. But it was because of your presentation, the way you presented Christianity.
That it wasn't from a pulpit preaching a Sunday morning service being broadcast on TV. It wasn't that.
It was relevant. And when you talked about your political issues, you were right on and I was right there saying, attaboy, and then you started throwing in this Jesus garbage. And so, you know, I sat through that, and that was
you
okay.
You tolerated the Christianity.
Exactly.
But you didn't like it too much.
No, not at all. And right. It infringed on the way I wanted to live. It
made you feel guilty.
Yeah. So
That's good, because guilt leads men to Christ. That's what the law does.
Mm-hmm.
The law is our tutor to minister guilt and condemnation to us so that we will look for a savior
and
in Jesus Christ.
That's what I remember about your show. You would have a TV show and public school students would call up and they would curse and you would hang up on them and you would call them the gross national product.
And I forgot that, right. The public school graduates are our gross national product.
And that was exactly the way I was living my life.
Oh, no, Jason.
And that was who I was.
You're such a neat guy. Any Christian woman you're single, and I would recommend you to any woman in the whole – any Christian woman. You were like that before?
I was, absolutely.
Gross.
I completely disrespected women, but my life has changed, of course, through God and through your ministry. So that's why I moved out to Colorado, because I wanted to thank you so much for changing my life.
Wow.
I wanted to come out here and say thank you. So I've done volunteer work for you, of course. Helped you both prayerfully and financially, which is one of the reasons why I'm here tonight, because I want to encourage others to help you
this
both.
Is pledge week.
Both prayerfully and financially, because it's hard for you to ask for money.
I hate doing it. But at the Bob Benyard Live fraternity, this is pledge week.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when I sit in the studio audience from time to time, yeah. I have to break into the studio when you're doing your internet ads.
Right.
Because you don't do internet ads.
When we do the commercials that air only on the internet at kgov.com, we end up talking about show stuff.
Yeah.
And content.
It's hilarious and
theology,
it's fun.
News.
But you don't make money.
But we got to do commercials during the commercials.
You got to stay on the air.
That's
and that's
tough.
Why I'm here.
I don't like it.
So how far are we into the pledge?
Our goal.
Our goal, yeah.
Let's lay out the need and the goal we set out is that this week we'd have a telethon week and that we would raise $1,000 in monthly pledges, mm-hmm. increased monthly pledges, and $10,000 in one-time donations and purchases of our materials.
All right.
Mostly Bible study materials. On both goals, I don't know why it's like this, but they're both exactly the same percent.
98%, right?
35.
Oh.
35, that's pretty good.
But we're 60% of the way through the week now, Bob. So we have to encourage the audience that they need to step up and support the ministry.
Wait, Monday, or they Tuesday, could find, and Wednesday, that's 2 out of 5. That's 60%.
That's 3 out of 5.
I mean 3 out of 5.
Your public school is showing, Bob.
That's right. That's 60%. You're right. So after tonight's show, we'll be 80% of the way done with the week.
And that's a bit scary because we're only at 35% of our goals.
35% of the goal. Now, let's tell the audience. We got calls here. We'll take calls at 1-800-8-NYART. And people could use that number to call in to pledge to purchase some materials like, say, the plot manuscript or the audio tape albums
mm-hmm.
or Genesis or Exodus. Or we got a lot of fun stuff.
Now, your mother, Connie, is sitting patiently right by the phone right now, ready to take a call. And it's worth giving a monthly donation just to talk to Connie.
It is.
She is a wonder.
I talk to her every day. I don't give her a monthly donation.
You should. She's a super lady.
Hi, Mom. I know you had dinner at her house tonight. That's why you're buttering her up.
I know. That's my thank you. I told her. Now, I mentioned her name on the air. And
my mother is fully Italian. My great-grandfather's name was Dominic Lelluccio.
Mm-hmm.
And he died definitely not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But his son, Adolf Galluccio, A-D-O-L-P-H, he got saved on his deathbed.
Fantastic.
My mother and I and my aunt were in his hospital room and fighting with him to get saved. And he finally, after 25 years of witnessing to him, he got saved.
That's fantastic.
That is neat. That is neat. And now, my grandmother's saved, too.
Now, I know Connie's fully Italian because I ate food at her house that I couldn't pronounce.
It's great. My mother is a good cook.
Absolutely.
Now, Cheryl cooked for us here tonight, and fabulous meal. So we'll have to compare notes later.
All right.
But so, okay, Jason. So, yeah, my mother could take a pledge or an order, or you could call in, those of you out in Radio Land, at 1-800-8-NYART. How do you spell that out on this phone?
I'm alphanumerically challenged.
1-800-836-9278, right?
Exactly.
And so we're looking for $1,000 in monthly pledges. That means if someone pledges $100 a month, that's 10% of that goal. And this is the first telethon we've had in 12 years. 12 years.
And hopefully it'll be the last. People will step up to the plate, give us a call, and let us know how important the ministry is to them.
Listener-supported radio. Now we're in the commercial break, Jason.
Let's sell something.
Oh, what should we sell?
Well, you were talking last night. We had a call from Francis in California.
Yeah.
And he mentioned the
Fall album.
The Fall.
Genesis, and the Fall.
And Exodus as well.
In the Exodus story.
Now, you talk about the Exodus and how you get the big picture, and then you can look at the details.
Yeah.
The big picture of Exodus is the children of Israel leave Egypt, and they go to the Promised Land.
Yeah.
So how can you get a Bible study out of that?
Ah, boy, do we have fun with that. Not only do we study the Bible, but we look at the historical evidence, the archaeological evidence that's been left in the world about the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea and Egypt being utterly destroyed and the Jews escaping. There is significant evidence. We do the same thing with Genesis, the flood. There's a world full of evidence that Noah's flood was a real event.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And when we do our Bible studies, we look at the Bible, we look at science, history, languages, archaeology, math. We see how it all fits together. It tells one story, the truth.
And you don't run away from a discipline. to say, well, archaeology doesn't support it, so we're just going to kind of ignore that part of the equation and focus only on these three strengths.
No, criminology.
Because if it's true, then everything should point to the truth.
Philosophy. So, and it's really fun to study the Bible in that way, that it builds your faith. You become proficient at the Word of God, so people could call 1-800-8-NYART and sign up for the monthly album. For $34.95 a month, we'll ship you an album. We're about out of time. 1-800-836-9278. I might have missed that there.
That's okay.
So we have one more minute. This is internet only.
Now, the internet people, they know how valuable your ministry is because they go through that extra effort to listen to your show every night. Maybe burn it onto an MP3 disc so they can share it with their friends as they're delivering mail in England or something. Who knows?
Ah, that would never happen.
I know. But they know how important the ministry is because it's affected their lives so much that they're not just flipping through the stations. They know and they go through the extra effort to find you every day and to listen to the show.
Three mail carriers in London who listen to the show on CD, MP3s, while they're handing out the mail.
That's amazing.
That's cool, isn't it? And you know, we got a pledge from Japan, $50.
It's a worldwide audience, and we need help in that to keep the ministry going. So give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART.
We're back, 1-800-8-NYART. Jason, I'd like to tell you what will happen if we don't reach our goals.
Okay.
We're trying to figure that out ourselves. Now, here's how the beginning of this week, in fact, I mentioned at the end of last week on the air, my wife, Cheryl, she's our bookkeeper. She pays the bills. We have an accountant who audits and does the taxes. Cheryl does the day-to-day bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. In the end of last week, the beginning of this week, she showed me we had about $5,000 in radio show bills that we didn't have money for. And every month, the show takes in money, but the bills tend to be a little bit more than the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so each month, it becomes harder to pay the bills, and we pay them 3 days later, a week later, 10 days later, 2 weeks later. And now we just hit to where our airtime bills alone are about a month behind.
Well, I have the solution for you, Bob.
Yeah.
You need to sell a miracle. If you sell a miracle,
all right,
then you'll be okay.
All right. Well, let's try it. We'll try that in the next health.
All right.
All right. We can't sell miracles.
We only have products.
Yeah, we have materials, and people can make contributions, pledges. And so we came up with our goals of $10,000 in upfront gifts or purchases of our materials, video, audio, literature, and $1,000 in increased pledges, monthly pledges.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that if we met those goals, then we'd be able to not only pay our bills for the next few months, but fall behind at a slower rate and maybe even get on in another city.
Yeah, your goal is not
an affiliate.
Your goal is not to get rich. Your goal is to not go broke.
Well, I wouldn't mind being rich, but it sure ain't happening from this show. but anyway.
And as good capitalists, we know you have to have money in order to pay the bills.
If it wasn't for Denver Bible Church, we could not do this show. Because Denver Bible Church, the believers who attend that church, they give generously to the church. The church pays our salary. And then I get to have fun on the weeknights.
You get to have a hobby.
Hobby, reach out and talk about the news and the Bible and get people saved. So it's a fun hobby.
Absolutely, and a necessary hobby.
And it's listener supported. So if we don't hit our goals, then for one, we live with financial stress for the next month, 2 months, 3 months, as we wrestle with, do we have to cancel one of our cities? And the more expensive cities that might have to go would be, say, Indianapolis or South Bend. They're the two that are teetering on the edge of financial viability for this show.
Which is unfortunate because that's where a lot of your fans are at. When you were on television, you were actually broadcasting out of South Bend.
Those
so
are our two biggest cities for support.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we've been off the air for a long time, TV, and so now It's a struggle to stay on the air there.
Well, you have to build an audience once again.
Yeah.
And those loyal fans, they're with you and they're right back with you, but they need to encourage their friends. Hey, Bob's back on the air. You need to check him out. This is the time and the dial setting to tune in, and he needs your help financially.
So
those people are aware of the benefit of your ministry, and those are the people that need to step up, or they could, once again, lose Bob Enyart Live.
All right. Now let's go to Niles, Michigan. Michael, speak your mind. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Bob, I thoroughly enjoy your show. I stumbled across it one day coming home from a Bible study, and it's very enlightening. I like your approach, no-nonsense approach to the Scripture that cuts through the chase. And there are a lot of people listening to you out there that you're not even aware of that are praying for you and your program.
Well, that's neat, Michael.
My wife and I are two of those people.
When did you find out about the show? How long ago?
About a year ago, driving home from the Bible study.
Oh, great. Glad to hear that.
And I'd like to get the book, The Plot, and contribute some money to your program.
Well, be careful, Michael. Be careful. People tell us when they get The Plot, it ruins their life. Because you learn so many things you never thought was in the Bible, and then, you know, whoever knows a lot is accountable for a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, now I know all this. What am I supposed to do with all this information? And Michael, that's very encouraging. Niles, Michigan, you know, we love getting calls from Michigan. We've got a lot of dear friends in that state. So, all right, anything else, sir?
No, just keep up the good work, and you're in a lot of people's prayers.
All right, so I'm going to put you on hold, and thank Michael, and then maybe the call screener would like to actually take an order, line one, for The Plot.
I think that's two.
Two.
Oh. Michael was on two.
Line two.
But we have someone on line one.
Let's go.
We want to talk to him now?
Let's go to Dells, Wisconsin. Bert, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hello, sir. You're on with Jason Troyer and Bob Enyart.
Yes, and I just wanted to tell you that I think Jason is an awesome inspiration. I have talked to you briefly about possibly moving to Colorado to help support your church and ministry.
Right.
And I think that him doing so and seeing that it can be done is an awesome inspiration.
What a great point.
And I'm not the only one. We've had people from, I think it's Minnesota.
Minnesota.
And then there was a family from Louisiana that moved out here.
Louisiana. They were here for a couple years.
Yeah, to learn, to study at the Derby School of Theology and be involved in our ministry and the pro-life work and all.
That's right.
So it can be done. And it wasn't just a spur-of-the-moment thing. But I planned out. I knew I wanted to do this and planned it out. And unfortunately, it kind of fell apart towards the end. And
it did.
Well, you got here. I packed up everything in my car.
Yeah.
And the day before I came out, or 2 days before I came out, I called the apartment landlord.
Yeah.
And they said, well, just let us know where you're going to work so we can confirm your salary. And I told them, well, I don't have a job. I have a college degree, and I have a strong back, and I feel confident, and I have savings, so I'm confident I can pay your rent, no problem.
So this was an apartment you had
planned
reserved.
Out. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we can't rent it to you.
They didn't know you're the most responsible person I've ever met in my life.
In the whole world.
In the whole world. No one budgets better, is more consistent, pays his bills. Boy, did they lose out. They probably got some real loser in there instead.
So I found a place. While I was driving halfway through Kansas on a payphone at a truck stop. That's where I found a place to live.
All right.
Now I don't recommend that for you, Bert, but we can certainly help you out if you want to do that and tell you what suburb to live in.
Target.
And, yeah, exactly.
Sure. And, well, again, this is something that I've been toying with for quite a while, and it seems like that the Lord is leading me stronger and stronger in that direction.
Well, we would be thrilled to meet you face-to-face, Bert, and to get to know you, to fellowship with you. So
now, what a lot of people do is they come out and visit for a weekend or for a full week.
A lot of people visit.
See what the ministry does, see what the underground bunker looks like, go to church on the weekend, see what the mountains are like, maybe ski if they want. Whatever, and
the
just
underground
maybe,
bunker.
Maybe even go to 20th and Vine and go protesting with Ken and Joe Scott.
We're just in the lower level.
Well, yeah.
The lower level.
We haven't battened down the hatches yet.
No.
Well, all and right. I just wanted to, you know, thank you for your ministry. And also, I had a situation that arose, and I was wondering if I could get your insight on it.
All right, let's go for it. And let's give out the phone number if anyone would like to pledge. And after the show tonight, we will be here for a half hour after the show taking calls, pledges, if anybody wants to purchase material, and on the web at kgov.com, kgov.com. The Bob and Eric Live storefront is really booming. It is really getting good. So that is a fun store, and that's a real easy way to make a pledge one time a monthly or look at our materials. There's descriptions for almost everything. Mm-hmm. So you look at our audio tape albums, and it will tell you what that album covers. It's really fun. Okay, go ahead, Bert.
Oh, okay, I was just wondering, as you know, I am legally blind.
Okay,
and that's due to Stargardt's macular degeneration. Mm. I recently applied for a job as a bus person, of which I could complete every requirement of the job, but I was turned down after the day after because of a liability of having wet floors in the kitchen where I would have to bring the dishes.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, you know, and my outlook on this is that, you know, if someone with 20/20 vision went in there and slipped, what would they do then?
Well, that person very well might try to sue the owner.
Right. So, but they figured I was a larger liability,
right,
having the visual impairment and refused me the job.
Right.
And
well,
that's unfortunately a lot of what I'm up against in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. But in a way, it could be a blessing in disguise because hopefully any job you get will pay better than a bus, you know, than a busboy job.
That's true. I mean, my profession is massage therapy, but again, it's hard to, you know, try and locate and get something, especially in the Midwest where it's not real prevalent.
Well, how about at like nice big resorts, hotels?
Yeah, and that's actually where I applied. I applied at this particular resort, which is the largest in the area, first for massage therapy. Oh. And they have very limited space. And
all right.
I guess,
well, Bert, look, we're really excited that you're trying to get out here. And we want to be kept informed all along the way.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that, Bob. I again, you know, enjoy your ministry. So,
well, thank you so much. And we look forward to meeting Bert from Dells, Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't
now,
that be neat?
Of course, we believe in freedom. And if a landlord doesn't want to rent to someone even as responsible as me, it's their option. It's their building.
That's
they can
true.
Rent to me or rent
Maybe
or not rent to me.
Maybe you should have sued the landlord.
Well,
no.
I don't think so because in a good government, in a good system, you have freedom. And if
That's
someone
right.
doesn't want to hire Bert, then okay, then their business will suffer because they don't have the best quality employees.
Then it's their loss.
Absolutely. And if someone is a racist and refuses to hire black people, but they're the most qualified to do the job, their business will suffer.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So
there are pros and cons to freedom. So you can either hurt yourself or you can help yourself when you live in a free society, which, of course, we believe in.
All right. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Jason, I got this article here from the Rocky Mountain News, and it's about the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Denver, which I've always heard it's like the third largest St. Patty's Day Parade in the country. I don't know if that's true, but it's really big.
I'm not much of a parade guy, but I do remember hearing something about the St. Patrick's Day Parade here in Denver.
You do?
What does the article have to say?
Well, this is a bunch of Christians went we were in the parade with huge banners with Bill Clinton's face on them, and they said Clinton rapist about raping Juanita Broderick.
Now that's a parade I'd like to go to.
It was dramatic. All right, Jason, I'm thinking of mentioning these audio tape albums.
Okay.
Here's what we've got. Tell me if they're any good and tell me the ones that are boring. Fine.
Okay.
We can deal with it. Nicer Than God album.
That is my favorite.
Come on, how could it be your favorite? I just picked it. It's like 1 out of 25.
Because it's so unique to your ministry.
Nicer Than God, the album.
No one would even say those words, let alone expound on them, make 6 tapes out of the biblical examples of how it's disgusting to be nicer than God.
So anyway, that's fun, right? Nicer Than God?
It's the best album, I think.
We have a Nicer Than God pamphlet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about this? Jonah and Nahum.
Jonah and Nahum. Now, that's a kid's story. You can't have anything interesting on a kid's story, right?
Well, let's see what Mike thinks. Hey, Mike?
Yeah?
You're on the air in a commercial break.
Hey, listen, I got a problem.
Yeah?
It's a good problem.
Tell me.
I met this girl.
Uh-oh.
And we're talking marriage pretty seriously.
Whoa. Now, Jason Troyer's in the studio. He's single.
Yeah, well, Jason, I got a good tip for you where to find single Christian women.
All right.
I'll do that later, but my problem is this.
Yeah.
I already got her the plot.
Yeah.
And she's having a little problem with judging.
Judging.
And I want to know, is there an album that you would recommend that I could get her on tape? Because I'd rather give her that way.
Yeah, that's smart.
Preach to her myself.
That's smart. Well, Jason, what would you recommend?
I think the Nicer Than God album would work perfectly. Bob and I were just talking about that before you gave us a call.
Mike, we were just talking about it.
Okay, I'll go with the Nicer Than God.
Nicer Than God album. And, you know, there's 6 tapes in that album.
Now, I was on your website, I think it was last night, and I ordered the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say it was very easy. It was very nice. I could pay for it and ship it directly to her, and it was so simple.
Oh, that is so cool. Yeah, our website, we've got a pro. A real pro doing our storefront. He lives in Connecticut. Him and his wife and son.
I'm going to get on and do the Nicer Than God.
All right. Now, let me just tell you, it's tape 3 in the Nicer Than God album.
I'll do that. And I would like to tell everybody in the audience that the website is so easy. Give a gift to somebody tonight.
Give a gift. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Okay. You guys take care.
Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Now, see, Jason, we need callers to do commercials properly.
Why did you hang up on him? He said he had a lead on a wife for me, and you just hung up on him?
I forgot. See? See, we're only interested in our own needs. All right, Jason is single, but we cannot auction him off as part of the fundraiser. We can't do that. In fact, during the commercial break—
It all depends on who wins.
For people who—
It might be okay.
For people who tuned in on the internet at kgov.com, we had a caller in the commercial who said that he ordered a plot manuscript online last night— And the store works so well. It's so easy to use. And he had it shipped directly to a friend.
That's fantastic.
So people could go to kgov.com, click on our store, and get a gift for someone.
And we were in the commercial break talking about the audio albums.
Nicer Than God. And we were talking about Nicer Than God.
And this, we had a caller call in, and you took him during the commercial break, and I was about to reprimand you for taking a
caller during a commercial.
And it's a telethon, no less.
Right.
So— But then the caller, he sold the material to himself. He said, I want to buy something. Give me something
about
this
judging,
topic.
On judging.
And of course,
and so
instantly
we had Nicer Than God album.
Exactly.
Right? Isn't that fun?
And he said he ordered the plot online the previous day, worked perfectly, shipped it directly to another person, and he wanted to encourage others that it's easy if you go online, kgov.com. And
the store is getting better and better.
Is the store hard to find, or is it right there
right
on the
top
homepage?
Right corner of the homepage.
All right.
Or people could call here, 1-800-8-N-YART, and order, for example, the Nicer Than God album. Right? And we've reached 35% in our goals. Now, Michael ordered the plot. Thank you, Michael. That's neat. You know, Jason, when people get the plot, it's sometimes trouble for them. Because then they want the audio tapes.
Well, you know what? It was trouble for me because I got the plot back when I lived in Fort Wayne. Mm. And even back then, you didn't know how to run a business.
No.
Because I sent a rather large donation. I saved up some money and I sent you a rather large donation, not expecting anything in return.
Thank you very much,
and
Jason.
I was going to wring your neck because you sent me products.
You
sent me a plot. You sent
we
me.
Did?
Oh, so frustrating.
Isn't that nice?
But I read through the plot, tore through that, God and the Death Jason. Penalty, Mount Moriah.
You're so funny. But if you sent us a donation, of course we wanted to send you stuff. Now, we don't always do that, but...
I know, but I just wanted to help the ministry. And so what I did is I gave the plot to a friend of mine who was another pro-life worker in Fort Wayne. And CJ, you never gave me the plot back.
CJ.
But fortunately, I moved out here and I have access to the plot and have my own copy right now. So I'm okay. Now, but it could be trouble when you get the plot because you might give it to a friend and you may never see it again.
All right. Now,
so order two.
In the Bible, God says that he appointed teachers,
mm-hmm.
pastors, evangelists,
of course, and
teaching. I just love to teach. It's a passion I have. And so I've studied the Bible for over a quarter of a century. You study the Bible and you present what you've learned. And the approach we've taken is to give an overview.
Mm-hmm.
Give an overview of the whole Bible because Christians, they wrestle with the details in the Bible. They argue over the details. They're confused by the details. But very few ever take the time to get an overview of the whole story.
And I'll tell you, I was wishy-washy before I was before I got the plot and I was listening to other Christians and trying to get back to the Lord and live the way I should. And I was confused. And when I got the plot— when I went from passage to passage, whether it's the debate over speaking in tongues or not, or this or that, so many different debates.
The rapture, you have to keep the law, the Sabbath, the dietary law, all these details. There's a zillion details in the Bible.
But when I read the plot, I understood how all those details
fit together.
They fit together. They fell perfectly in line. And I didn't have to struggle or
fight,
contort
wrestle,
around a passage.
Ignore verses, hundreds of verses.
Well, that can't mean what it says because then this other passage would not be true and God doesn't contradict himself.
So what in the world's going on in the Bible?
And I was baffled. So.
Isn't it fun to have a grasp of the whole Bible?
Absolutely.
It's so much fun. Why do people – I don't understand why the church has gone into like the dark ages where even Sunday school teachers for 30 years tell us they read the plot and finally somebody took the time to explain the Bible.
And it clicks.
Not just a favorite 10 verses or 10 parables. So, all right, our Nicer Than God album, that's a fun album.
Absolutely.
We were talking about that during the break. And most ministries wouldn't know to even think of that concept, nicer than God.
God is the nicest person, thing, entity, whatever you want to say in all of creation.
That there should be.
You cannot be nicer than God.
If you're nicer than God, you're going over into self-righteousness, phony, hypocritical.
Absolutely.
Gross. Yeah, so we've got this Nicer Than God album that deals with interesting things like Jesus was offensive. He was sometimes rude.
Are you sure? Rude?
Pretty awfully sure.
Hmm.
Well, that's tape one of the Nicer Than God album.
So he called people, what, snakes?
He called people names.
Wow, that's pretty
And
tough.
Sometimes they would ask him questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was especially annoyed, he would just ignore them. He wouldn't answer them.
Maybe he didn't hear them.
No, he heard them. And it says, and he didn't answer them because he was fed up with them. And the questions would lead to eternal life. Like, why should we believe in you? Or are you the Messiah? And Jesus would be like, you know, these people are such losers. I'm not even going to talk to them. And he intentionally offended people, not all the time, but sometimes. His name is the Rock of Offense. That's one of his names.
And, of course, people in the audience, they hear this at their church all the time, so therefore they don't need to order this material because they're getting solid Bible teaching throughout the week.
Well, I hope they are getting solid Bible teaching, but normally
but
churches
unfortunately, it
don't
doesn't
focus
happen.
On – you know, the church has been seduced into being nicer than God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't rebuke or confront like we should. The church is confused about judging and forgiveness. Totally confused.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think there's more sermons on the Lily of the Valley or on the Rock of Offense?
Ooh. The Lily of the Valley. The Lily of the Valley.
All right.
Although even that's passé these days.
Yeah. Ugh.
But just being nice. And so loving and hating, what does the Bible teach about love and hate?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says there's a time for peace and there's a time for war.
And let your love be without hypocrisy.
Hate evil.
And cling to that.
And there's a time for love and a time for hate. What does that mean? And when all the places where the Bible says that God hates the wicked, what does that mean? And when it says he hates their soul, he hates the person, what does that mean? What do those things mean?
Well, we go back to it can't mean what it says it means. But yeah. It can if you get the Nicer Than God album and you can understand why God and why Jesus does – why they do things like that.
Some of those seemingly – some of those harsh things.
Mm-hmm.
And name-calling and mocking the wicked. So,
which I try to do on a regular basis. I try to follow Jesus and his example of mocking, ridiculing.
Now, everyone you meet?
No, of course not.
Just when it's appropriate.
There's discernment, absolutely. Like, so if you're standing outside
Jason,
an abortion clinic.
Can we tell a story, and I like to tell it my way.
All right.
About at the Planned Parenthood abortion mill in Denver, 20th and Vine.
Uh-huh.
You're down there with your car. And there's some counter-protesters. You know the story?
There's a lot of stories that happen at 20th and Vine, but I'm pretty sure I know which story.
Now, there's a zillion counter-protesters through the years, but this one I think was a lesbian witch, maybe something like that.
Yeah, there were three witches that would come down and counter-protest us.
And so the witch, Jason's in his car talking to someone. The witch comes up next to his car and starts licking the passenger side window. Licking the window.
Yeah, that was gross.
That's, you know, it's a witch thing to do. So here's the funny part. Over the next 4 weeks, Jason's neighbors.
I thank God that that window was there to protect me.
Yeah, that's right. Over the next 4 weeks, Jason's neighbors couldn't figure out every Saturday morning, get up early, go out to his car, and use a newspaper and pick up some dog dew and rub it on his window of his car. They couldn't figure out why he was doing that.
Another crazy pro-lifer.
And then finally, actually, no, that part's not true. The last part I made up. I thought it was funny. But the first part is true. This lesbian witch is licking your car window.
Ugh, yeah.
But that's the kind of reaction, and that's not common.
But what I did with them and just absolutely drove them crazy is because of the harsh condemnation that we gave to them, told them they were going to hell, and preached to them constantly what they were doing was wrong and they need to join our side and stand up for life and not be promoting death. Now, one of the things I did, and I just love telling this story, they were on the opposite side of the street because they couldn't stand being close to us, but they would do these satanic chants. They would have their own signs and do their satanic chants while they were on their side of the street. And I went over and I used one of the tactics you used. And I had a big Malachi picture of an aborted baby laid out in front of holding a sign in front of me. And I said, how old does this baby have to be before it's wrong to rip off his arms and legs?
How old does a baby have to be before it's no longer okay to rip off his arms?
Yeah. And I asked them that 20 times, top of my lungs, screaming. And they were 5, 10 feet away. And then I decided to use a different tactic because this was when getting me anywhere.
All right, tell me the tactic after this.
Are we on, Nathaniel? Did you turn us up? All right, we're on. We're doing the commercial break here, and I want to encourage those out in internet land to support this ministry. All this stuff that we've done as pro-lifers, and certainly my life as a pro-lifer is due to Bob's ministry, and so I know how important it is. And if people in the past hadn't supported that ministry, I would have never have seen that TV show. If they wouldn't have volunteered their time in the studio, I would have never seen the show. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to think about where I would be today because my life would be completely different and it would be in shambles.
Wow. Well, Jason, that's really kind of you to say all that. And while you were talking, I was thinking about all the people who've helped this show over the years, and some really surprising people, people you would never think would help this show, but who have. And
Bob Dole.
Not Bob Dole.
No, he helped one time. I remember the TV show. You dressed Bob up Dole? As Bob Dole. It was one of the most hilarious shows.
Come on.
His personality helped you because he was such an idiot. But you're great at pointing out even the flaws of Republicans.
You mean when Bob Dole said, intolerance is the one thing I will not tolerate? Or he also said the Democrats are going toward the cliff at 100 miles an hour. And we Republicans are just saying we should slow down a little bit.
And where do Christians go?
That's funny if you think about it.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah. Where do Christians go when they want to hear conservative talk? Do they go to Rush Limbaugh? He's a Republican. He defends Bob Dole. He would never point that out. He would never say that their policies are going wrong.
He does a little bit.
No,
he does a little bit, but he's more Republican than anything else.
Absolutely. So when you want to.
Rush says that we need more God in America, that any God will do, but we need more God. Mm-hmm. And that is tragic.
So we need
that's
more.
That's sad to
we
say.
We need more Allah and we
more
need
Allah.
Yeah, more Buddha, whatever.
Yeah, more of the force be with you.
Yeah. So when you want to hear good conservative Christian talk, there's only one place to go.
That's Sean Hannity.
KGov.com.
Oh.
Because this is an internet
Bob Hannity Live.
Exactly.
Hey, and Jesse Lee Peterson.
Absolutely. There's a few out there, and they're worthy of your support.
Dr.
So give us
Larry
a call.
Bates and Chuck Bates.
Yeah.
Information Radio Network.
Yeah, they see the value of your ministry.
Oh, and
Dr. Helping.
Wolf.
Dr. Wolf is great. Wolf. Yeah. So they see the value of the ministry, and they want to help out any way they can.
Jason, in the war that we're already involved in, our psychological operations, dropping leaflets. Some of what we're doing is deception. Others is threats, right? And we're dropping leaflets. We've dropped 8 million leaflets so far in Iraq, and they've got pictures on them and Arabic writing. And for example, we tell their air defense artillery personnel, beware, do not track or fire on coalition aircraft or you will be killed.
Even if there's a human shield there in front of you.
Well, the human shields are they're at the zoo.
Well, I heard that the human shields went to a school to protect the military target of a school. And then Saddam figured out, okay, they're at a school. So he moved in a whole regiment of his troops at that school.
At the school.
And the human shields didn't really like that because they realized that school was now a legitimate target.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So let's
get back to my little war with the three witches.
Yeah.
So I have a big picture of the Malachi baby that's been aborted. And I yell at them. And that wasn't really getting anywhere. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna put down my sign. You ladies, and I called them ladies, and I should apologize for that, but I said, you ladies, put down your signs.
Which was a lady?
Ugh. So anyway, I said, well, you put down your signs, I'll put down my sign, and we'll just we'll talk for a minute. I said, we'll sing a song, because they were chanting and things like that. Mm. I said, we'll sing a song together. And they kind of looked at me suspiciously, but they said, okay, we'll do that. And so they
it's
put down
their – It's weird what counter-protesters will do if goaded properly.
So they put down their signs, and I said, well, what song do you want to sing? And they had no idea. I said, well, why don't I sing one that I remember from growing up? And it was Head and Shoulders, Knees and Toes. And so I said, you just point to your head when you say head and shoulders. And as you talk to, you know, say the body part, you point to it.
Right.
And it's a motion song.
Yeah, right.
So I said, head and shoulders, knees and toes. And they thought I was weird. But they did it.
They did it.
And they started
Jason,
bending down
so
and knees
funny.
And toes.
So you got some lesbian witches pro-abortion counter-protesters doing knees and toes.
And then I said, okay, let's go faster. Head and shoulders, knees and toes. And I do the whole song. And we do that song maybe five times or so until it gets into their brain. And I said, and so I walked over to my Malachi picture, picked it up, and I sang the song pointing at the baby. I said, head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes, knees and toes.
Wow.
And they were furious because they knew they had been had.
They were tricked into recognizing the truth, and they didn't like it.
Oh, they were furious.
You know, it's one of the tools of the trade of evangelism is learning how to manipulate the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
learning how to manipulate the enemy.
And Bob, you're a great manipulator.
I am?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you don't want to manipulate your friends.
No, of course not.
Right? But you can manipulate the enemy, and it's done in the Bible. Deception is used at times. God shows how to use deception. When is it appropriate? Let's go to Fort Collins, like in Iraq right now. Deception is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Fort Collins, Colorado. Nick, speak your mind. Hello,
How's
Nick.
How's it going, guys? Talked to you the other night. You remember?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. In fact, you mentioned what.
I love the fact that you take the Bible literally. I love it. You know, people need to start doing that more in this world we're living in. I was wondering, we were talking the other night about offensive approaches to Christianity.
Right.
And what do we do, or what do you guys do, as far as we've got this huge problem with pornography.
Yes.
And it grieves me greatly to know that the devil has stealing the afflictions of so many young people.
Nick, right. Pornography is destroying tens of millions of families and about 100 million...
What do we do?
Okay.
How do we take an offensive approach to this?
Well, let me tell you first what we don't do. Do you know the number one Christian ministry in the country that fights pornography? Do you know the name of the group?
No idea.
That's their focus. That's what they do. Jason Troyer, you know?
It's Morality and Media.
Morality and Media. And the president, Bob Peters, is a Christian, conservative Christian, evangelical, Bible-believing, and he leads this ministry against pornography. And I interviewed him on the show 2 months ago, 3 months ago. You could get it at kgov.com and listen to it. And, Nick, I asked the Christian leader of the nation's biggest ministry that deals specifically with pornography to stand with me as the pastor of Denver Bible Church and call for pornography to be recriminalized. And to say that Hugh Hefner does not have the right to sexually exploit women to produce pornography. And do you know that Morality and Media would not make that stand?
Oh, my God.
Morality and Media, Bob Peters, says that Hugh Hefner and Larry Flint, that they have a right to produce pornography and to sexually exploit women. That's the leading Christian position on pornography nationwide.
It sounds like the ACLU. It sounds like the enemy.
It sounds like Planned Parenthood. The Christian leaders are pro-choice when it comes to pornography.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so how are we Christians ever going to win a battle? So you know what they satisfy themselves doing? Raising money to fight obscenity. They say pornography must be legal because we have the right to free speech. Well, pornography wasn't always legal, and we had free speech here in this country back in the 30s, in the 1800s, 1700s. Yeah. So pornography should be recriminalized. It should be against the law to sexually exploit people. But the Christian,
it should be. Amen.
Right, but the Christian leaders do not know that. They don't know.
I can't. That is so grieving. I just.
Yeah. So anyway, Nick, now how is it that at Bob and Yurt Live, we could confidently say that we need to recriminalize adultery?
I agree.
But why is it that the vast majority of Christian ministries can't say that? Why don't they say it?
Because they want to be seeker sensitive.
Well, there's a phrase for you. That's part of it. But part of it is they don't know. They don't know that adultery was against the law 100 years ago in this country, 200 years ago, 50 years ago. Adultery was against the law. It's been legalized by perverts and liberals, and the Christians are so ignorant. I mean the Christian leaders. They don't know the Bible. They don't know American history or European history or Judeo-Christian 3,500 years of history. They don't know that adultery was always against the law. And so they've thrown in the towel, they've given up, and they side it with Hillary and Hollywood and the humanist, and they say adultery should be legal. And so one reason is because they don't have an overview of the whole Bible. They don't understand where the criminal code in the Bible should fit in to the body of Christ and the world today. They don't know.
Absolutely.
They don't know.
Yeah.
Pat Robertson didn't know how to defend the death penalty. He was utterly stumped on his own show by a little girl who asked him a question on the air. So, Nick, hey, thanks for tuning in. So we need to fight to recriminalize pornography and restigmatize it, pointing out that the men who look at pornography are losers.
Seriously.
They're losers, and they're undermining their marriage or their future marriage, and they're helping to further the climate in which their daughters and sisters will be sexually exploited, molested, abused, and their sons, for that matter. Hey, Nick, thank you.
Well, is there anything we can go burn?
Well, what's that?
Is there anything we can go burn?
Well, let me tell you something better to do. Get another person and get a digital camera and go once a week to a local pornography store and take a picture of the guys going in and their license plates and email them to, say, Ken Scott, Joe Scott, and we'll put them up on the web. And we'll put them on TV in Denver.
Yeesh.
Now, if you did that, Nick, you would get some people to stop going to porn stores. In fact, we've even sent letters. You know, you find out who the license is registered to, and you send a letter to the wife.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Say, "Dear Mrs. Harry Johnson."
But, Nick, it has to be a commitment because you're not going to solve this problem overnight. And Ken and Joe Scott, they've been working on the abortion problem for years and years and years, and it's not going to end anytime soon. So you have to have a deep commitment, not just a frivolous idea and say, oh, I'll do this for 2 weeks and then give up.
Yeah.
So if that's something that's burning in your heart and you really want to do that, then we could probably give you advice on how to do that, but know that it's going to be for the long haul and know that you're going to be condemned by every Christian you run into as being too judgmental and it'll never work and you should just give up and you should go to a prayer meeting Wednesday night instead of going down there and protesting.
Except for Keith Mason. Hey, Nick, thank you so much for calling in.
No problem, guys.
God bless you, Nick. I appreciate that. So, Jason, we're almost out of time.
Well, I think – and you're talking about morality and media and all – and I think they pick a goal that they think they can attain so that they can get people to give them money. And it's the same thing with politicians and some pro-life groups when it comes to partial birth abortion.
Yeah,
they think partial birth abortion will not save – if we ban it, it will not save a single baby. But they think it's an attainable goal, so they use it to raise money so that they can feel good about themselves. They can have dinners.
And
but
meanwhile, we undermine our own ability to ever win the battle.
We need to stand on principle. And so if you understand that as an audience member, you need to support this ministry that will stand on principle. We want to see all babies saved, not just in the third trimester about to be delivered.
And as we fight the battle, we not only save babies – but we save mothers from killing their kids and fathers, and we lead people to the Lord. People get saved. So many people have gotten saved through the pro-life fight.
And we're going to try to do that again at Columbine tomorrow.
Tomorrow at Columbine High School. That'll be great.
So tell the audience what the totals are
our
and what
pledge,
they need to do.
Right now we've got 35% of our goal. If someone pledges $50 a month, that will add another 5% of the goal, $50 a month. $100 pledge would add 10% of the goal per month. And our goal of $10,000 in product sales and one-time gifts, that's $10,000, and we're at $3,500 right now. So we're at 35% of that. So if somebody, you know, somebody could order the Enyart Library, which is one of everything.
Wow.
Save $400 if you get one of every video, every audio tape album, all the literature.
That would be awesome.
The shirts, the bumper stickers, you get everything. The whole Enyart Library, it's $1,495.
You can start a satellite office in Louisiana.
$1,495, but that would give us another 15% toward our total goal for the week. So, hey, call us if you can help. This is Bob and here reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.